In Matthew 10, when Jesus sent out the 12, he told them not to worry about what to say or how to say it, for it would not be them speaking, but the Spirit of our Father speaking through them. So, Father God, I pray that the message you have placed on my heart speaks into the lives and hearts of those who hear it, that regardless of what we're each facing, your word and your truth would speak into the circumstances so that each person would feel as though they met you here today. Amen. Do you believe God wants good for you? In times of struggle or adversity, have you ever found yourself questioning God's love or his plan? Have you ever found yourself crying out, "Why, God?" in hurt, frustration, anger, brokenness, or confusion? If there is one thing my testimony helps you with today, it's this: that even in your darkest hour, when you feel the most alone, God has not abandoned you. He will find ways to speak into your life if you let him. And you can trust that he is working to bring good into your life. Today's message is going to be a little bit different. We're not starting with worship, if you haven't figured that out yet. But there will be worship songs throughout my message. You see, I believe God uses music to communicate with us. He often speaks to me through songs that I hear at church or on the radio. Maybe you feel the same way at times. And part of my testimony comes from songs God used to encourage me and help me get through some pretty dark times. Feel free to sing along if you know them. It is still worship. So I hope they will speak into your life as well. This story starts about 5.5 years ago. Kelly and I had been dating for 2.5 years when we got married, and at the time I began my journey as a stepmom to 4 boys, I wasn't sure if I wanted a child of my own. Kelly and I had talked about this, and he accepted my uncertainty. While he was content as a father to 4 boys, he believed that if we decided to and were able to get pregnant, a child would be a blessing from God. Eventually, the call of motherhood and the desire to have a child with Kelly brought us to the next step in our journey together. We knew from the beginning that we would need medical help, and so over the course of the next 2 years, I saw a specialist in Saskatoon and underwent 4 procedures in the hopes of getting pregnant. Each time my hope built, and each time my heart broke a little bit more as the results came back negative. We had 1 chemical pregnancy, which lasted long enough to give us a positive result, but ended 24 hours later. I began to blame myself and choices I had made over the years. Was God punishing me for choices that I had made previously? For example, I had gone on birth control to treat hormonal acne, and I wondered if that had altered my body's ability to conceive now. I would face something with one of my stepsons, and begin to question if God thought I was a bad mom, that he was trying to teach me a lesson before he'd let me have a child. Medical support meant money, and the increasing financial burden only added more stress. Could we even afford this? Were we even doing the right thing? I began to beg God for the result I wanted, bartering with him. Maybe I needed to pray harder, read my Bible more. God, my heart would cry. Tears pouring down my face. If you give us a child, I promise I will be a better wife, be a better mother, be a better Christian, be a better... My world became a pretty dark place as I faced these negative test results. Saying I was heartbroken doesn't seem to do it justice. At times I was simply going through the motions. Other times I was hiding my pain by hiding in my room, easily overwhelmed by any additional stress. I experienced depression and anxiety, but tried to hide it from the world, to go about my job and day-to-day pretending like I wasn't aching on the inside. I felt consumed by what we were doing. It seemed to be on my mind all the time, and everywhere I looked, everything I did, I felt reminded of what I couldn't have, a prayer unanswered. Perhaps this is something you can relate to. Perhaps there is something in your life you're struggling to overcome. Maybe it's a health issue or a situation at work. Or maybe there is something you've been praying for. A financial need, a broken relationship you wish could be healed, freedom from an addiction for yourself or someone you love. Perhaps you found yourself in a place where you felt ready to give up, or where you blamed God. Perhaps, like me, you found yourself bartering. Each treatment in the city involved multiple appointments, and I found myself looking for answers by going to an endocrinologist, which is like a hormone specialist, and a naturopath, trying to raise the odds of success. This meant hours of driving, which gave me lots of time alone with God, sometimes praying, sometimes crying, begging, bartering, and sometimes sitting in silence, waiting for God to say something. It seemed every trip into Saskatoon, this one song would play, often at the city's edge as I headed to my appointment. It was as though God was telling me to seek Him first, to turn to Him, not with a wish list, but just to be in His presence, because my relationship with Him was more important than the outcome. God was telling me to keep my priorities straight. While my brain seemed overwhelmed, my heart needed to remember who was in control. As we sing this song, I hope you are reminded that no matter what you are facing right now, no matter what work or miracle you're asking God for, that you won't miss out on a close personal relationship with Him because you're seeking the gift instead of the giver. On May 25th, 2017, Kelly and I decided to start our journey in in vitro fertilization, and I took a month's health leave from school. The initial treatment required me to be there for a month, on a rigid schedule of hormone injections and ultrasounds. Kelly and I had long debated God's view of IVF, We were both torn and did not want to do anything that God would not approve of. We prayed and talked. I sought the counsel of other people I trusted and decided that ultimately, if God did not want us to conceive, that no science or human intervention would make it happen. And that was our prayer, that God's will would be done. We approached the process carefully, knowing that life was a precious gift from God. Not having to be working and alone in Calgary for that month meant I had nothing better to do than focus on myself. I could eat healthy, get exercise, and spend a lot of time with God. I read my Bible and prayed like I hadn't in years, because I had so much time. And I didn't do it because I thought it would earn me my miracle, but because it brought me comfort. Time and again, I felt like God was telling me to stay hopeful. I would be opening my Bible and my eyes would fall on a word that seemed to be from God himself. It was speaking directly into my situation. I would read a commentary or listen to an online sermon and think, God must have known how much I needed to hear this right now. I had been warned that IVF would put me on an emotional roller coaster, but I felt centered and experienced a peace I had not known in a long time. I felt God's presence, and it gave me hope that we were on the right track. The doctors monitoring my progress through multiple ultrasounds would give me results that were not as promising as they hoped. I would walk out of the hospital feeling deflated. But by the time I would get to the car, I would find myself thinking, just trust. God's got this, and he's telling you it's going to be okay. And in the end, the results were better than what the doctor's assessments and tests had predicted, and so we proceeded with treatment. Despite all of this, in July of 2017, I received my fifth negative test result. I was completely broken, and I remember weeping gut-wrenching tears. I grieved. My only saving grace was that I had the summer to pull myself together, because I'm not sure that at that point I could have gone to work and pretended everything was okay, because it wasn't. What was God doing? I think this is one of the biggest questions people have about God, whether they're Christians or not. Why? Why would God do this to me? Why won't he help me? If there really is a God, if he really is a loving God, why would he let this happen? Why would he tell me to do this and then not follow through? I believed in God. I knew he loved me, but I was at a complete loss. And often as Christians, we struggle to answer that question because we do not understand and we cannot pretend to know what God is thinking, doing, or not doing. I felt so confused. God seemed to be speaking hope into the situation, but nothing seemed to be working. How much more did he think I could take? But the answer to that question lies in the fact that you and I can never truly understand God's plan. And in the face of adversity, we have to accept that truth. In Isaiah 55, 8-9, God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Well, God is telling us that we may not always understand his ways or his plans or his timing. He assures us in Romans 8:28 that he is working all things out for our good. I held these verses close to my heart that summer. I could not lose heart just because I didn't understand why I wasn't getting pregnant or because God's timing wasn't mine. That fall, I learned I had Hashimoto's thyroiditis. A rather gruff German doctor informed me very bluntly that there was no way I could have gotten pregnant. My body was too tired and hormonally messed up. And if by some chance we did get pregnant, it could cause deformities or miscarriage. She said it in a much more colorful way, but I'll save you the details. I left the hospital in near hysterics. I could not believe that we had wasted so much time, so much money, so much energy. I sat in the car in the parkade and fought to regain my composure for nearly 20 minutes. I felt horrible for the kiosk attendant who innocently asked me how I was doing, setting off a fresh round of tears. Once I was past the gate, I pulled over, fearing I'd cause an accident if I drove any further in that state. No sooner had I put the vehicle into park, a very pregnant young woman walked out in front of my car. This could not be happening. It was like the ultimate slap in the face. And I'm sure I would have accepted it as exactly that and given up any hope of getting pregnant, if not for the fact that I believe God placed that woman in my path at that exact moment that this song came on the radio.
Letting go of every single dream, I lay each one down at your feet. Every moment of my wandering never changes what you see. I've tried to win this war, I confess. My hands are weary, I need your rest. Mighty warrior, king of the fight, no matter what I face, you're by my side. When you don't move the mountains, I needed you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers, as I cry out to you, I will trust in you.
A complete fluke, but I believe that God is in control of all things, and as such, he was sending me a pretty clear message. I needed to trust God, that he was still at work in this situation, and that by not allowing me to conceive prior to this diagnosis, that he was actually protecting our future child, that his plan and his timing is and would be perfect. Through this experience, I learned that it is our choice how we face these battles and threats to our faith. We can give up, blame, or barter with God, try to control the situation on our own without God. But God tells us in John 15:5 that apart from him, you can do nothing. So as hard as it can be sometimes, and trust me, it was hard, we have to stand firm in our faith and trust God's plan. Sometimes that means taking a step forward even when we're afraid. Even when we failed before, even when we do not understand his plan or timing, It is one thing to say we trust God. It is another thing entirely to live that out, especially when we're feeling lost, broken, uncertain, or alone.
Thank you.
It took a year for me to heal mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually, to even come close to being in a place where I could consider another round of IVF. It would be our last attempt. Financially and emotionally, I couldn't take it anymore. I researched what I could do to heal my or deal with my thyroid issue and prepared my head and my heart. This was a battle Kelly and I could not win on our own. Only God knew what needed to be done, and he was the only one qualified to do it. There was a part of me that truly did not expect to get pregnant. I trusted God for it. If it was meant to be, it would be, but I was beginning to feel like it just wasn't going to happen. I had already talked about this to Kelly and told him that I wanted to share this testimony to help others to see that God is still with them, even in the hard times, even when the answer is no. God had demonstrated that to me so many times, and regardless of the outcome, I believed God had a plan for me as a mother. Perhaps he would show us another path. Perhaps we would foster, or maybe we were meant to adopt. Maybe I was just meant to be a stepmom to four boys, and that would be enough. But ultimately, God would decide. All I could do was lean on him and trust him. Theodore Bennett Froese was born on March 18, 2019. He was a week and 4 days overdue and born by C-section after 30 hours of being induced. I believe this, in and of itself, was a miracle because we learned the umbilical cord was around his neck and things could have gone horribly wrong if he had been born naturally. Theodore's name means gift from God. And he truly is the most precious gift God has ever given to me. He's our little miracle, and we're amazed by him every day. I am so grateful that God did not let me give up, that in my most broken moments, he reached out to me, and that I could see him and hear him. Life is full of battles, trials, and threats to our faith. For some, it's facing an addiction, marital troubles, or broken relationships. Perhaps it's dealing with the loss of a loved one or feeling overcome by anxiety or depression. For others, it may be a feeling that you have to do something that goes against who you are or what you believe in order to fit in. For others, it might be a struggle just getting pregnant. Our circumstances might look impossible, but through God, all things are possible. No matter what you are facing, you can trust God. He has not abandoned you, and he will find ways to show you that if you're willing to look. In Joshua 1:9, we are commanded to be strong and courageous, to not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord our God is with us wherever we go, whatever struggle we face. As we sing this last song, it's my hope that no matter what you're facing, you know you are surrounded by God's presence and love, that you can trust he is fighting your battles and working all things for your good.
This is how we fight our battles. 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 When you think you're lost, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how we fight our battle. This is how we fight our battle. This is how I fight my battles. 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 It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Facing, but I knew they knew I was hurting at times, and there were people that I reached out to and I said, pray with me, please pray with me. And I know that there are people here hurting today, and maybe you're not in a place where you can walk up to someone and say, please pray with me. Maybe all you can do is raise your hand. Maybe all you can do is stare at Pastor Kelly for a second. Maybe all you can do is send me a text or a message later and say, Kim, pray for me. Doesn't have to be anything big, but please know when you ask, people will come alongside of you. And when we pray together, God moves mountains.
Amen.
He moves those mountains, guys, so please don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of walking up to somebody or messaging someone and reaching out and saying, pray for me. We're here for you. We're still here for you. We'll continue to pray for you. Kelly will continue to sing. But I also want to say this. As moms, we face battles. Sleepless nights, long days. I mean, I've only had a newborn for 2 months now, just about. I feel a small ounce of what some of you are going through. We need to celebrate our moms in a big way. We need to pray for our moms in a big way. They have a huge role in those kids' lives. And I thank each one of you here that act as a mom to someone, whether it's you gave birth to that child or you adopted that child, you fostered that child. Maybe it's just someone you've taken under your wing at church, but thank you. Thank you for the role that you play in people's lives. It's a powerful one.